Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Amazing Avenue Winter Meeting Special. I'm Kenneth Lavin. I'm joined here by Lucas Vlahos. How are you today, Lucas?
I'm all right. Better than the Mets free agent plan from what we heard today, that's for sure.
Yeah, they said a lot of things and all of them, none of them were good.
Not great, Bob.
Yeah. Love to balk at the price of Wade Miley.
Garrett Cole's a good starter, but you know, I'm happy with the front of
our
rotation.
We need to be more opportunistic.
Oh my god.
Which is the name of the episode, I've decided.
Oh my god.
Sandy
was better at this.
He was much better at this.
Sandy was better at the bullshitting. For sure.
Like, it night and day, which, mm-hmm. like, you know, whoever is running this team is going to, you know, part of their job is doing this, just given the nature of who's writing the checks, you know? Like, it's just amazing to me that how like, bad he is at it.
Yeah. It's kind of, well, he was, like, one of the more high-powered agents. You think he'd be better at this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Apparently not.
Well, the Mets may not have done anything, but a few other teams have. And you know, we're going to talk about those things. So today, the Angels traded Zach Cozart and Will Wilson to the Giants for cash and a player to be named later. I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
I love it. Like,
yeah.
Look, I understand that lots of people have harsher takes on tanking than I do.
Mm-hmm.
I personally understand and think from a purely baseball perspective, tanking makes a lot of sense. If you're defining tanking as just not trying to win, not necessarily not trying to spend. So if you're tanking and mm-hmm. you're not signing real free agents, but you're also buying prospects, which is essentially what they did with this move, mm-hmm. and also just throwing money at reclamation projects at spots you don't have a young internal guy to try out. Like, there's no reason a tanking team should not still be spending $150 million.
Oh, and, yeah. No, and there's plenty of ways to leverage money.
I mean, right off the top, like, we can name three ways. Like, what? And the Giants did two of them today, right? They mm-hmm. bought a prospect by absorbing Zach Cozart's contract from the Angels. And maybe people need to critique the Angels on some level because they're.
Yes.
So my other, we'll get back to that in a second, but like mm-hmm. Giants, good job there. Then they gave Kevin Gausman, what, $9 million?
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely worth it. He's a former top prospect. You see if he hits, you see if he can fix something, or he's good for half a year and you trade him. And the other thing that I'm surprised teams don't do is sign and trade with money, right? Like, you overpay for mid-tier free agents, and then you just trade them all at mid-season while eating most of the money, right? And I don't think a lot of teams do that for obvious, baseball is broken reasons, but you could very easily sign like, I should have had the free agent list open in front of me before I started on this track.
I mean, like, there's a good chance that, like, I don't know, Marcell Ozuna or something will be like, could net you a better prospect than you could get on a qualifying offer or something like that, mm-hmm. you know? Well, there's lots of these guys.
Yeah, Ozuna might be a little too good for what I'm talking.
Yeah, because he's going to get more than just
$100 million, yeah. Like, you want a guy who's going to sign, like, a 2 or 3 year deal, and you just say, look, we're going to give you $20 million in the first year, $10 million the next year, and we're going to eat this cost up front and then trade you for a prospect. Who could if Brett Gardner wasn't going to re-sign with the Yankees, he's an older guy. He's going to sign a 2-year deal. Right, like some bad team could say, "Hey, we're going to give you extra money," and then, or you work it out with another team beforehand, right? Like, you say, "Look, this team wants you, but they don't have the money, so we're going to sign you. We're going to kick in an extra couple million, and they're going to trade a prospect." Right, and if many more teams were spending to the threshold, this would be a common practice, I think. But
instead, you get teams that are just trading like very good players for salary relief.
Will Wilson was the 15th. I have no strong thoughts on the prospect. Like
I do, but
do you like the prospect?
No. He's gonna make the big leagues. Like I wasn't like enamored with him. I saw a decent amount of him when he was at North Carolina State, and I have questions about the hit tool, but still,
he's a 15th overall pick, like 3 months ago.
Like he's certainly like a top 3-round talent, and like to just give that away so that you can shed Zach Cozart's $13 million.
Now, in fairness, they're probably trying to give Garrett Cole $35 million a year, and then also sign a third baseman. So.
And I will applaud them if that happens. Yeah. But
look, in an ideal world,
right. Yeah.
I think in an ideal world, you have a system that's, more like football or basketball, and where there's a hard cap and also, or not necessarily a hard cap, but more of a cap and more of a floor. And then I think this creates these opportunities for interesting trades like this. Like, all right, the Angels want to sign Garrett Cole, but they have to do it under the cap. But this other team that's bad is willing to just dump money so they can have a draft pick. Like, that's interesting. But teams don't spend because baseball's broken.
Yeah, I feel like a floor would help a lot.
No kidding.
But.
I mean, I feel like if the Players Association agreed to a ceiling, you could put a floor in and that would probably help.
That would keep at least, like, the egregious examples, your
A's.
Those are the lowest.
A's.
It was like $80 million, right?
Yeah.
The lowest payroll.
Right. I mean, I'm just making analogies to basketball and football, which I understand are very different and have very different profit sharing systems or revenue sharing systems. But their ecosystems are certainly more healthy than baseball's right now.
Oh, yeah. Certainly on labor. I mean, I'm not an expert in either, but I know the NBA, like, money has exploded in the last, 5 years?
Now, there are downsides to that, of course. Like, everyone just goes to the big market. This is another huge topic that smarter people than us could talk about. The point is, I think we're both a fan of what the Giants did today.
Yes. Like, teams that are, I don't want to say not competitive, but, like, teams that are clearly, a lot of things would have to break right for them to be competitive, I guess, teams like on the bubble. I think a lot more of them should be leveraging money in these ways towards, rebuilding.
Yep. If a big market team wants to rebuild, this is what they should do.
Exactly.
Like, and hell, Zach Cozart was good 3 years ago. He might be totally borked, but maybe someone gives you a random relief prospect at the deadline.
Yep, and worst case, like, you can always, he's probably a, perfectly cromulent bench piece.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you get, like, the equivalent of Bobby Wall at some point, right? And you want that. Those are the kind of lottery tickets you want lying around so you don't have to spend on relievers.
Yep. Gausman I also think is interesting because there's sort of like a has he ever really gotten, like, much run out of the pen?
I think he thinks he's a starter.
Okay.
Fortunately. But so did Drew Pomeranz, and then they shoved him in the bullpen for 4 innings.
Yeah, that's only his, choice if it if he makes it work,
Yeah. And I think Like, look, if he doesn't want to go to the bullpen, he is the kind of guy you gamble on as a starter. Like, maybe you somehow teach him a third breaking pitch or something, or a third offering. Like, it's incredibly unlikely, but you make this kind of gamble.
Absolutely. There's talent there to bet on.
Yeah, absolutely. And what are you going to spend? No, it's not worth spending money on the other options for, like, the risk reward just makes more sense when you're a bad team, like swing for the fences.
Yep. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about some of the other stories from the winter meetings today.
This episode is sponsored by Stash, a smarter, simpler way to start investing. With Stash, you can begin investing in a wide array of companies and diversified funds for as little as $5. Stash offers unlimited trading with no add-on trading commissions, so you can invest without worrying about getting nickel and dimed. You can choose your own stocks and funds to build a personalized portfolio, or let Stash help build one for you. Stash demystifies investing with personalized financial guidance and education. They can even help you set up a plan for retirement saving. Stash will give you $10 today to get started investing. Just visit www.stash.app with the code SBNation. That's www.stash.app with code SBNation to get your $10 to start investing on Stash. Investment advisory services offered by Stash Investments LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. For disclosures and to learn how to claim your $10 to invest, visit www.stash.app.
Hey, I'm Jason Del Rey. I recently wrapped up Land of the Giants, The Rise of Amazon. In this podcast, we examine how Jeff Bezos turned a small online bookseller into one of the most powerful companies in the world. We start by exploring how Amazon Prime became a service with over 100 million members and the main source of the company's power.
I mean, I think that's kind of what Amazon's banking on, right? That you're just so locked in that you're going to go to any other sites, because, I mean, I don't.
And we end the season by pondering the question, is Amazon too big?
You know, and we just don't want to be the United States of Amazon. We just really don't.
Land of the Giants has been recommended by the New York Times, Axios, Wired, and more. It's a candid look at the state of Amazon today, how we got here, and what the future might look like. The entire first season is out now. Find out more and binge it on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app.
And we're back. This is the Amazon Avenue Winter Meeting Special. I'm Ken Lavin. I'm joined by Lucas Vlahos. And Lucas, Didi Gregorius signed with the Phillies today.
Yeah, that seemed kind of inevitable for a number of reasons, honestly. I'm interested to see how they shuffle their infield, but they did need an infielder. There's a connection with Girardi.
He's like a good piece to add to that infield because he's really the only shortstop out of the three of them.
Did Segura's defense just go to shit? I thought I remember Segura as
the second baseman.
I always thought he was a decent defensive shortstop. I might be just
decent, but Gregorius is like
better,
a very good defensive shortstop.
If he's totally recovered post TJ,
true.
Okay, no. So Segura has always been a slightly below average defender. Which, whatever.
Certainly live with it given everything else he does.
You put him at second now.
He's probably a very good second baseman.
Basically, they replace Cesar Hernandez with Didi Gregorius, which improves your infield defense and your offense. All of Didi's power is to the pull side, which is why he raked at Yankee Stadium, and he's going to hit like 25, 30 bombs in Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, so this is just a good fit overall.
Like, yeah, he's
going to... I mean, he would be a good fit for many teams, including the Mets, I would say. But
that depends on your opinion of Amed Rosario, but I would agree because I don't like Amed Rosario.
I mean, yeah, he could also fit, you know, at third with McNeil in the outfield. There's other ways to shuffle it, but, like, yeah, this is, like, a perfect fit.
Yep.
Right down to his, you know, former manager is taking over there.
And he was apparently looking for this sort of 1 year pillow contract. He's going to go to CBP. He's going to mash in a lefty friendly ballpark, and then he'll go sign a 4 year deal next year.
Yep.
In theory. Meanwhile, then I feel as this is an important corollary to mention. The Phillies add Wheeler and Didi. The Braves sign Darnot and like four relievers. The Marlins exist, I guess, but who cares? The Nationals are getting worse, which is nice at least. But Brody comes out and just says, yeah, we can't let our plan be affected by the teams in our division. It's like, well, the Phillies were right behind you, and the Braves finished 10 games ahead of you. They've both gotten better while you've gotten worse.
That's the thing that I really don't get, is like, yes, you won 86 games, but you got extremely lucky to get there, and you still missed the playoffs, and like...
I think they... So let's talk about how lucky they were, actually. If we look at Fangraphs base runs, which is their equivalent to Pythag record. Oh, no, I think they have both here. So the Mets were 86 runs by Pythag, 87 by base runs, 86 actual. So they weren't lucky in term, particularly lucky or unlucky in terms of sequencing or anything.
Just but playing time, though.
Right. You got 2.5 wins from J.D. Davis. Pete Alonso hit 54 home runs and won the Rookie of the Year. Jacob deGrom won another Cy Young. None of your major pitchers got hurt, really.
Which is, like, big, considering, you know, the drop-off from...
Yeah. And, like, sure, you're unlucky because Diaz forgot how to pitch, but... Taking that all together, that was a pretty lucky season in terms of health.
Yep.
And now they're going to say
all, you know, projection systems are really is playing time projections.
Mm-hmm. And now they're literally going to replace Zach Wheeler with a pitcher who is worse. Certainly doesn't seem like they're going to address the bench particularly well. They're not going to address the back of the rotation particularly well. They're not going to address the bullpen particularly well. So basically they're going to run back the same team, but slightly worse, and then shrug their shoulders and say, we tried.
What's the Simpsons quote that you like to pull out for precisely this learning has occurred here?
Oh, wow.
Type moment.
Me failing any of those Ralph quotes related to learning. I'm not even that big a Simpsons fan. Me fail English, that's impossible. Me fail free agency... That's impossible. Fucking Mets.
Yeah, no. No learning has occurred here.
No. It's just nothing. The only way I think you could squint at this roster and be like, maybe it's better next year if Nimmo plays every day, except they don't think Brandon Nimmo is good. So...
You know what's difficult to do when your neck
swing a bat?
I mean, like, literally anything, but yes. Also, swinging a bat is very hard.
Like, we already had this rant two shows ago, so.
Yeah, no. It's a common rant in my life. But okay.
DD signing is good. The Mets will not respond.
Yep.
Come get us. Okay.
Come back.
No.
It's going to be the name of the episode. Executive decision.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, yeah, so we've talked enough about Didi Gregorius. Yeah. It was also leaked today that the Astros are, worried about their payroll and potentially looking to trade Carlos Correa. I don't know about you, but he's pretty close to my idea of, like, a perfect player.
Correa, so, really?
Yeah.
Back injuries concern me for the reason we just mentioned. Back injuries don't really go away, and if you're having as many back issues as he's had at 25, I'm a bit worried.
But it's not like you're looking for it's not like you're handing him like an 8-year contract or something.
That's also true. My other point would be that he's an objectively bad shortstop.
True.
And I'm not sure what you trade to get him. Like, what are we giving up? I say he's a bad shortstop. He also like ran a 140 weighted last year, so that plays at third just fine. Just fine.
He's basically like had an all-star level season like every year.
Last year he was fighting through the back injury and bad, so I don't know what you give up that actually A, interests the Astros, and B.
Oh, I fully don't think the Mets could pull this off. A lot of these trades, I think, the Mets would get, you know, weeded out of the process fairly early in the bidding.
Like, it feels like you'd have to move. The only two, I'll put it this way, the only two, and perhaps this is too harsh, the only two appealing pieces on the major league roster that I think the Mets could afford to move are Dom Smith and maybe JD Davis.
I agree.
I don't think you can, like.
Like, you'd have to do some serious juggling to, and I'm generally not a fan of you know, big trades like that, because for precisely that reason, like, you're basically just shuffling deck chairs,
right?
You know,
like, if your idea was to move Ahmed Rosario and replace him at short with Correa, okay, but the defense issue remains. Granted, like, fine.
Yeah, that's like a 3-win upgrade.
Yeah, but like, what do you move with Rosario?
So, I think I would move like any player in the minor league system for him.
I don't know that the Astros do that.
And that's what it ultimately, like I said, I think the Mets get weeded out pretty early in the process here.
What year is Correa?
I was literally just looking at this. He's under control through 2021, so that puts him in ARB 2.
Or was he a Super 2 guy? I don't remember.
He's making $7.4 million, I believe. Let me get SpotRack open.
FanGraphs has him at 1.5.
1.5. SpotRack has him at $7.4 million.
Okay, so if I trust that one, then more.
Yeah, so this is ARB 2, and you'd get his ARB 3 year, which would be, you know, $14 million, $15
million. Are you only trading for 1 year of Correa?
2020 and 2021.
Okay, so you get him in 2021. Yeah, all right.
Probably like $15 million or something.
Look, if the Astros would move Correa for Ahmed Rosario plus insert bevy of minor leaguers here, yeah, I'll do that. I don't think they'd do that.
I don't think they'd do that either. I think your best shot would be like Alvarez and Dom or something, and I don't think they do that either. Just because I don't, they have a better first baseman. They have, you know, several players who can shuffle up. Well, they have two good, very good first basemen in Alvarez and Gurriel.
I don't know that I'd call Gurriel very good, but not meaningful. Better than Dom. Yeah,
probably.
At the same, we could also like mention Chris Bryant in this discussion, but I think the conclusion is pretty much the same. Like, what are you trading for
him? Yeah, no, things have to go pretty haywire for the Mets to get to even get like deep into, you know, to get into like the small group who actually have a chance, you know.
Yep. I don't think there's any way the Mets can do it.
It's a bummer. I really like Carlos Correa.
and it's at the risk of, again, sounding like the management shill that I know I often sound like, if you're trading any of these major league pieces, you're reducing your WAR upgrade to like 2 or 3 wins, which isn't insignificant, but you're also blowing up the little room of payroll you have left in the process.
Yep. Yeah, I feel like big trades, like big league roster, you know, when you're trading players between two big league rosters, you have to be able to like make up the difference with money. It has to be like a specific fit thing. And, you know, we know the Mets are not in a position where they're looking to do that.
Hey, you could trade Noah Syndergaard for Carlos Correa and then replace him with Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Not going to happen.
You're telling me the Mets aren't going to spend $36 million a year on a pitcher?
To be honest, I would probably consider. I don't think it makes the team any better, but I would definitely consider Syndergaard for Correa.
I'm pretty sure I'd do that.
I would do that. I'm probably what you're thinking. And I like Syndergaard a lot, and I hope they don't trade him.
I much prefer Syndergaard from a fan perspective, because I just love Syndergaard. And also, we all know he'd go to the Astros. They'd take 15 minutes to turn him into a guy who has a 1.2 ERA for a whole season or something, because that's exactly what would happen.
Yep.
He'd
suddenly, you know, have an 8 curveball.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of his back pocket.
Yep. But give me the position player easily. Yeah. Trade Ahmed for another starter, like, but that won't happen. It won't happen.
No. Well, on that note,
depressing. I guess last thing I'm just reading here. Sure. We talked about a couple names already. Like, I mentioned, like, Jason Castro. I think, Liam mentioned last time I was on here, Craig Stammen. Looking at the rumors posts about them, no mention of the Mets. The Mets are going to be, don't have enough money to get in on the bidding for Jason Castro.
We have, Brad Brock, though. future setup man, Brad Brock.
Great.
On that note,
that's enough.
It's probably a good time to wrap up. This has been a Mazen Avenue Winter Meeting Special. I'm Kenneth Lavin. I was joined by Lucas Vlahos. You could find me on Twitter at KenLavin91. Lucas, what's your?
I'm at LVlahos343.
Sorry, that just completely threw me off.
Yep. It's all over. It's all over.
Yep. Please check out the site at AmazonAvenue.com, as well as its accounts on social media at Amazon Avenue on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. What's up, Lucas?
I was trying to come up with like a one like equals one prayer equals $1 for the Mets free agent fund. For every like, we'll donate one penny to the Mets free agents.
Yes, I can spare some pennies.
Uh-huh. Great. Because the Wilpon sure as fuck can't.
Sure can't. You got to protect that nest egg, man.
Uh-huh. All right, I'm done. Goodbye.
You can find the show as well as all of the other great shows the site has to offer, including Unformatable, a pod of their own, Amazing Avenue the Show, and From Complex to Queens. On the Amazing Avenue audio feed in Apple Podcasts, where we also encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe to the pod. So, until next time, let's go Mets, and please do something, Mets. Please.
Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.